Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here on Sports Time Radio, I'm the Big Jack, he's Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, you know by now the blogs are added Wednesday and Saturday morning, so swing over there tomorrow morning, check out what's going on. But there is various content added throughout the week, so make sure you popping over there, check out what's going on. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man, agree.
Oh, so the big news today, Dan, is Tony Romo decides he wants to be a broadcaster instead of playing in the NFL. How do you feel about that?
Well, seeing as he just shifted to CBS and he's replacing Phil Sims, it doesn't really affect me any. I think he kind of looks silly in that CBS jacket, though.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that he goes from player to the number one announced team on CBS. So that means the number one announced team for CBS and the number one announced team for Fox are both anchored by former Cowboy quarterbacks. Because as you know, part of the Fox team is one of my favorite guys, Troy Aikman, who literally can relate anything that happens on the field to the Dallas Cowboys, no matter what teams he's covering. And he, of course, is teamed up with my other favorite guy, Dan. Who's that?
Joe Buckaroo.
Oh, yeah, my guy Joe Buck. I dislike Joe Buck so much at this point in time that I can't even watch that show he has. He's got that interview television show, and he actually has a couple interesting guests on, but I just despise him so much now I can't watch it. So, Yeah, it's on. Do you get the Audience Network? They carry it. So, and he literally just does sit down interviews with athletes and former athletes and stuff. But kind of back to Romo. You know, are you a little surprised that they bumped him all the way up to the number one team?
A little bit. I mean, he doesn't really obviously have experience.
So, yeah, you know, because that's the interesting thing. I was looking. I wanted to see if I could. So far, I've only seen one person actually say anything negative about this, and it was one of the Mickey Mouse Network female women who cover football, and she's been covering it for a long time, but I want to make sure I get her name correct, and the article seems to be gone. Let me bing it here, because I think I know her name, and we'll see if it comes up. But yeah, she was talking about how, you know, you got to kind of, you know, here you go. Tony Romo getting on CBS number one team with no experience is total crap. And this is according to Bonnie Bernstein. I believe she's still with the Mickey Mouse Network, but let me check to see. Maybe she was one of those who got cut, or however she does it. Looks like she's technically freelance now. But she does still do work for ESPN. They list her doing quite a bit of stuff. Dan Patrick, not only the main Mickey Mouse Network, but the W, you know, the Mickey Mouse W Network. DirecTV, MSNBC, NBC, and Fox. So she's all over the place as a freelancer. But yeah, she's the only one who came out with any negative comment. And, you know, I mean, I'm guessing because he's coming from America's team, he kind of gets the benefit of the doubt, right? And he's allowed to go right into a number one slot.
Well, yeah, and I mean, let's face it, she's just jealous.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, to be fair, though, she's paid her dues. You know, she did all the, you know, the crap and the BS that she had to do, the sideline stuff. And, I don't think she belongs on the number one team. But sadly, where I work, you're not promoted on your ability anymore. You're actually promoted on your gender and your ethnicity. So it's very difficult for certain classes to get promoted, not going into too much detail. So it makes me kind of want to side with her. But yeah, in a way she's just a little bitter, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, no offense, he was a quarterback. He played football. That's your qualification.
Yeah, but to be fair, she's easier on the eyes than he is, you know. So, and, you know, to be honest, I don't really care who's in the booth when I'm watching a game. I'm not turning the game on because Tony Romo's in a booth. I will turn the game off if it's Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, though. So you're not drawing me in by who's announcing. I mean, I could care less who's doing play-by-play. You know, oddly, they're going to pair him up with Jim Nance, and I guess these guys are actually golf buddies. So I'm sure, you know, Nance had a little hand in helping Romo land the job. But, you know, it would be the same thing. You know, if Peyton Manning wanted to be an announcer, they would have immediately put him right on the number one team last year. You know, when Tom Brady finally decides to retire, if he wanted to go into announcing, they would do the exact same thing for him. You know, I mean, these are the guys, you know, Romo gets it because he's the Cowboys quarterback. Manning and Brady, of course, get it because they were great, you know, legendary quarterbacks. So, you know, it's just, you know, what you kind of live with. But, I mean, are you watching a game because Tony Romo's the broadcaster?
No.
So, you know, just one of those things. But, you know, what this does do, Dan, it should open up some job opportunities for our guy, Jay Cutler. You know, because the Texans were waiting for Romo to get cut and then try to sign him. Well, obviously now that's not going to happen. He signed his deal with CBS. So, you know, they can take a look at Jay Cutler. You know, the Broncos were the other team interested in Romo. Now, they do have two serviceable quarterbacks on their roster, so I don't know if they would bring Cutler back. You know, but there are, you know, it does open up the market for our boy Jay a little bit, and maybe he can put some clothes on and get to work. Now, if you're Houston, Dan, I heard earlier, you got to pick your side here. If you're the Texans and you've got to make a decision, you sign Jay Cutler, you sign Colin Kaepernick, which guy are you bringing in?
Jay Cutler.
So, yes, poor Dan loves Jay Cutler. So, but all right, the other story I want to get to before Dan and I get stuck talking baseball, which, you know, always happens here kind of regardless. You know, the NHL has decided that they will not send players to the 2018 Olympics. They're not going to suspend their season. They're going to continue playing. But today, Dan, your guy, who's your guy?
Alex Ovechkin.
Yes, he came out and said he's going. He's going to go and play for Russia. You know, he'll probably miss 7 to 10 games. How do you handle this if you're the Capitals?
He doesn't get paid.
So, Can you do that to him?
Well, yeah, he's under contract to play those games. He's not under contract to play in the Olympics. So
yeah, you know, and oddly, what's weird about this is, you know, I'm starting to wonder now if maybe this is going to affect the Capitals quite a bit. Ovechkin's teammate, I'm going to butcher this, Evgeny Kuznetsov, who's also Russian, is saying he's planning on going too to play. So now, you know, you're looking at two of the top guys on the Nationals being gone. I understand why the NHL did it. I wouldn't want to suspend my season either. But, you know, you got to start wondering, you know, if these guys start defecting, you know, how do you handle this?
Well, I mean, you know, that's obviously an opportunity for other guys to come up, and fortunately it's only every 4 years. But, you know, I don't know what their collective bargaining agreement entails. So that, I'm sure, will become an issue, not even an issue, but I'm sure that it'll be addressed when their next kind of deal comes up. And it may even be put into contract from here on in.
Yeah.
The NHL decided to hold completely to just stay out of it.
Yeah, you know, it is a little interesting, because obviously, you know, Ovechkin's played in the Olympics before, but he's never won a Stanley Cup. Now, I don't know if they've ever medaled gold. You know, I know Canada normally seems to win that nowadays. But, I would think the Stanley Cup is more prestigious than a gold medal, isn't it?
In America.
Yeah, well, probably in Canada, too. You know, it is Canada's game. We just borrow it. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I you and I both know he's a great player. You know, he's one of, if not the best players in the NHL. So, but if you're a teammate of his, are you understanding? I mean, I don't think it would cost the Capitals a lot, because they're still a very good team. And even if, you know, it would be almost like he was injured for 2 weeks or whatever it turns out to be. You know, you'd have to get along with him. I don't think it would cost them the playoffs or anything like that. Even if Kuznetsov goes with them, I think they would still be okay. But, you know, if you're in that locker room, are you a little resentful? I mean, you can't say anything because of who he is. But, you know, inside, do you have some issues?
Yeah, I think so. I think he has to be inside, but I also think it's going to be his responsibility to address the entire team, and that's something we probably won't hear about.
Yeah.
As secretive as the NHL is.
So, yeah, you know, and you know, they seem to keep thinking that there's still a chance the NHL can make a deal with you know, the IOC or whoever deals with this stuff, so they can, you know, so they can work it out, and the guy, you know, the players can still go. But yeah, you know, I don't know. It's a little bit worrisome, but you know, who knows? All right, well, here we go.
I think it would have been different had they made that decision after the last time.
After what, to go or not?
Yeah, I think it should have been made immediately.
Yeah, well, you know how that goes. You know, they have to have their meetings, and they have to discuss all that stuff. And it's like, really? Let's just make a decision. So,
2 years later, you know, that's why I don't think it's a huge impact.
So we'll have to see. But all right. We had one game played this afternoon, Dan. Just one. So I couldn't do a lot of flipping. The Tigers beat the White Sox pretty handily, 6-2. Justin Verlander got the win, went 6 1/3 innings, so he got the quality start, Dan. Also struck out 10.
Ooh, wow.
He was opposed by Jose Quintana, who managed to go 5 1/3. Five hits, 6 runs all earned, walked 3, struck out 2, gave up 3 bombs. K-Rod did get a save, so if you're you know, fantasy relevant there. The 3 homers, though, Dan, Jacoby Jones, Nick Castellanos, and Ian Kinsler. So I don't know how many guys are starting them on FanDuel or, you know, even in the smaller leagues have these guys on their roster. But they were the big homer guys today. Kinsler also had a double, so he was big time. For the White Sox, it was your guy Melky with 2 hits, and they were both doubles. Abreu had 2 hits. It was a double. Garcia had 2 hits, and so did Saldino. So that was kind of how it worked, you know, kind of how it worked out. So if you were playing any of those guys on FanDuel today, or if you have them on your fantasy team, you know, obviously if you had Verlander, he had a really good start for you. And, you know, if you had the right hitters, you did okay. But, you know, not much of a game. You know, all the scoring happened early. You know, by the 4th inning, it was 6-2. And then the Sox added a 9th inning meaningless run off some of the Tigers' younger bullpen guys before K-Rod came in to get the save. But not the best game to watch, or the best way for the White Sox to start off the season. Oh, but we do have the rest of the schedule here, Dan. The New York Yankees at the Tampa Bay Rays. It's CC Sabathia against Jake Odorizzi. The Colorado Rockies at the Milwaukee Brewers. It's Tyler Anderson against Zach Davey. I can actually tell you that Mr. Fantasy and I both started Tyler Anderson on FanDuel tonight. So stay away from him, because that means he's going to suck. The Cleveland Indians at the Texas Rangers. It's Carlos Carrasco against Martin Perez. The Seattle Mariners are at the Houston Astros. It's Hisashi Iwakuma against Lance McCullers Jr. The Chicago Cubs at the St. Louis Cardinals. If you don't live here locally like Dan and I do, this is the MLB Network game tonight. Jake Arrieta against Adam Wainwright. The San Francisco Giants are at the Arizona Diamondbacks. I don't know where I got Los Angeles from. It's Johnny Cueto against Patrick Corbin. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim are at Oakland. Matt Shoemaker against Sean Manna. That means they're playing the A's, Dan. And the San Diego Padres are at the Los Angeles Dodgers. It's Clayton Richard against Kenta Maeda. So there you go. There's your schedule for tonight. What do you like?
All of them.
Okay, good. I did have a funny thing. I was telling you before we went on air how I just had a ridiculously bad night of sleep. So I watched some bad movies, caught a lot of baseball highlights. Now, last night, Dan, I don't know if you know this, but the A's actually beat the Angels 4-2. The only highlight they showed of the game was Mike Trout's home run, and the A's won.
National bias.
Yeah, it was just hilarious because, you know, they had this big, huge thing, you know, and I mean, obviously he's the best player in the game, and I don't know if you've seen the commercial for it, Dan, but he's got an MLB special coming up, I think maybe this weekend. And it was just hilarious because I knew they had lost. I'd seen the score on the crawler and stuff. You know, when the highlights come up, I'm like, oh, okay, well, let's see how the A's scored. Yeah, the Trout home run, and then they went to the box score. Like, really? Who Oakland won, right? I didn't get that wrong. You know, I actually go into the tablet and double check to make sure I had the score right, because they had, you know, had just went away from it so quickly. And I'm like, come on, let's, you know, it's like, just, you know, let's get over this. And you know, you're a frickin', you've got an hour of highlights to show. That's all the MLB Network does, show the highlights. Was it really important to not show any of the A's? You know, are they that irrelevant, Dan?
And that's what I would have tweeted to MLB Network at that moment.
Yeah, I was tired. I was tired. So, you know, it was like probably 3 a.m. or something. So, but yeah, I just kind of, you know, I just kind of chuckled. It's like, God, we've played one game. Why don't we just give him the MVP award already? He hit a homer. You know, let's just give him the award and get it over with. But yeah, it just, you know, I was like, ah, it's not worth getting upset about now. I was like, whatever, just let it go and get on with my life. So it's just my frustration that I have to deal with the inability to attempt to fairly broadcast what goes on in the sport. So, and then luckily for you, I was a little concerned myself. You know, the King had to come out of his start last night after 5 innings. But he's already out saying he's not going to miss a start from this. So he will be just fine for you, because I know you have him in one of our leagues, right?
Actually, yeah, I landed him in both. I didn't even realize it all this morning.
Oh, wow. Okay. So
yeah, I don't know how that happened. I do feel like, in both of our leagues, he was underrated. Because normally, a guy like he, you're not able to get into leagues.
Yeah, it's odd to get the same guy in both leagues. So, you know, we'll have to see how he goes. But yeah, that was a concern. I was like, oh boy, that better not be serious. And you know, obviously I had the game on as it was, and he kind of hit first base funny.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just gotta hope that, you know, the 5 days or 6 days, I know the schedule is really weird to kind of, you know, start with the days off plugged in. So
you've got to wonder if injuries like this to players will eventually get a petition to have the bases installed in the ground for their level with the playing field.
Yeah. So it's even, and you just got to step on, you know, step right on them, and everything's level.
Yeah. And then no problem first.
Yeah. Yeah. You wouldn't jam your fingers on, you know, on the base.
Unless you're Dexter Fowler and you're upset that the Cubs didn't sign you an $82 million contract and you try to take out one of your former teammates.
Interestingly, how could you stop sliding if there wasn't a base to hit?
Yeah, you're right. I didn't think of that.
You know.
You'd have to slide earlier. You'd actually have to teach you how to slide again.
Yeah. It would be quite interesting. Now, you know, Dan, I take absolutely nothing away from opening day. It's just one day in a long, long line of what's going to happen. You know, the only thing I really remember is Byron Buxton made a great catch that we're probably going to see at the end of the year when they talk about plays of the year. But I found an article by John Paul Morosi, who's one of the insiders on the MLB Network and MLB.com, and I know he does a couple other websites as well. I just don't remember them. And he's got 5 takeaways from opening day. Now, I saw a lot of these games. I don't know how many of them you got to see being at work. But his number one takeaway, Steven Strasburg and Bryce Harper were their superstar selves. Can you tell that in one game?
No, I mean, I saw Strasburg had a strong outing. I didn't really get to see Harper, though.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Strasburg did all right. He wasn't lights out. I mean, to be fair, Carlos Martinez had a better outing. And, you know, so did Verlander today. This one's interesting. The Indians' re-engineered lineup could be better than the 2016 version. Are we all jumping on that bandwagon because Encarnacion hit a home run last night and everybody's happy?
Yeah, I think so.
So, yeah, I kind of thought that. Meanwhile, here's three, Dan. The Blue Jays miss Encarnacion already. Can you really miss a guy after one game?
Oh, I think Fowler misses a couple.
Yeah, well, that's a different story. I think, you know, he just kind of wanted to win. So, but, you know, in the Blue Jays sense, you know, you had all offseason to replace him. Why didn't you? So, four is Dodger fans can exhale because Corey Seager is healthy. I don't really get that one. I didn't realize he was injured coming in, but, you know. And then five here, Dan, you've got to explain this one to me. The Rockies affirmed their springtime optimism. What were they optimistic about? What were you optimistic? Here the funny thing, the big plus for this is that their bullpen delivered five shutout innings. Again, it's one game. You know, that bullpen could go out tonight and give up 10 runs.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm kind of coming along to your line of thinking. It's just guys who need articles. And they, you know, they just kind of come up with stuff. Because, I mean, you know, there were a lot of great opening day moments. And, you know, like, I can't figure out how he missed the Buxton catch. I mean, that was a fantastic catch that guy made. I don't know if you saw, did you see the play Machado made where he made the diving play and then got up from his knees and threw the guy out? You know, there was also, let's not forget, Rougnor Odor hit two home runs. Yeah, Madison Bumgarner. So, okay, Dan, well, here's my question for you. They have 8 plays. What was your favorite moment from opening day? I got to cast a vote here, Dan. Here are the 8 options. Jackie Bradley's junior's catch in the triangle. Manny Machado's diving stop. That's the play I was talking about. Noah Syndergaard's pitching performance. Byron Buxton's 5-star catch. Rougnor Odor's 2 home runs. Carlos Correa hitting the ball on the train tracks, Bryce Harper's 5th opening day homer, or Mike Trout's 3rd opening day homer?
I mean, I like Correa, but
what was your?
I didn't see them all, so.
It was just one of those. One of those things. Let's see. I can tell you right now after I voted, Manny Machado is in the lead with 34%. Bryce Harper is next at 17%. Rougnor Odor is 12%. Your vote, where it went for Correa, bumped him up to 10%. Buxton is at 8%. Syndergaard and Bradley are at 7th. And Mike Trout is bringing up the rear at 5%. So that's where they stand now. I don't, you know, if you had a favorite, you know, if you had a favorite opening moment, you know, feel free to email us sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. You know, maybe it was just your favorite team winning if they won. You know, that could be a favorite moment as well. So, and I know, Dan, you know, you sent me a FanDuel invite. I was ineligible for that league. I tried to get in. And it did not allow me. It told me that I was ineligible.
You're
so
you're in a higher level than I am.
Yeah, but they do have 5 players here that they suggest could have big nights, and I'm wondering if you used any of them. Let me run them down here for you. They have Edwin Encarnacion. Carlos Gomez. Oops, I scrolled down a little too far there. CC Sabathia. That's interesting. Jake Arrieta and Lance McCullers Jr. Do you remember your lineup? Did you use any of those guys?
Edwin, and I used Jake.
So yeah, I do have Encarnacion in a lineup. But yeah, I went with in my free roll, I went with the guy Mr. Fantasy and I went with Tyler Anderson. But in the league, I actually spent money and I went with Johnny Cueto. So you know, I'm all on the Cueto bandwagon this year. So hopefully he's rolling. And sadly, I wasn't able to get him on either of the teams. You know, I really think he's going to have a really, really big year, which probably means he'll blow out his arm tonight and need Tommy John with the way these things happen to me. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. So hopefully you're not a Johnny Cueto owner and I just jinxed you. So... But yeah, now what are your plans? Are you going to be specifically stuck on the Cub game, or are you going to jump around tonight or set up your other equipment and check out all the other stuff?
Well, I'll have the Cub game on the TV, but that's why I've got two iPads so I can watch a couple other games at the same time. I'm not sure who I'll put on, but. We'll see.
Well, yeah, the free game on MLB TV is Seattle and Houston. And, of course, you know, you should have a free preview of MLB Extra Innings. So you can watch whatever you want.
Yeah,
but, yeah, you know, I was... you know, I was just realizing, you know, we were talking about those great moments from opening day. Does this mean they didn't count Sunday as opening day? Because I think I would have voted for Madison Bumgarner had he been on that list. Wouldn't have you?
Yeah, I think they knew that would be by far number one. He would have 95.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how you couldn't vote for that. I mean, you know, he hit two bombs, and didn't he strike out double-digit guys?
Yeah, 11 guys.
So, yeah, I just realized that when I was flipping through it going, wait a minute, he wasn't on there. So.
Only to not continue the game unless the bullpen blow it for him. So hopefully Johnny Cueto's got 8 to 9 innings in every start this year.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's weird how, you know, it went right back to the Giants having bullpen issues. You know, I mean, that was really the thing that kind of cost them last year.
And you got to wonder if Mr. Fantasy's regretting that pick for World Series.
Yeah, you know, you do kind of have to start to wonder about that and be like, well, you know, is it... You know, was it worth it, or is it okay, or how's it going? So, I had to double check here my FanDuel lineup because you know I have the late swap league, so I have to go in because I had Andrew Tolles in my lineup and he's not starting, so I have to hunt down a.
In the one, I got Jock Peterson starting, and I was kind of surprised that he's not starting tonight.
Well, you know, San Diego is throwing a lefty, but, I'm surprised. There's no, you know, no Jock Peterson either. I mean, normally I thought he just kind of plays regardless, so... But, yeah, it looks like Kiki Hernandez is getting a start. I remember you had Kiki for a while. He played pretty well for you. So, you know, I guess I'm going to plug Mitch Hanger into my lineup here and see how it goes. Can't go wrong with a Mariner, right?
No, well, obviously I have $200 extra, so I was able to plug in Kevin Kiermaier there.
Ah. So, Oh, yeah. You know, and I know I was telling you off air also, if you listened to the Sunday podcast and didn't listen to me, Mr. Fantasy, if you'd have followed his advice, his lineup actually won $4. So you could have picked up a little money from him. You know, I always try to go a different route than him and give other options because I know it just sucks when we're all picking the same guys. So, you know, I thought I had some with Tanaka. I thought he had a shot to deliver, and, man, he did not. But, you know, there's a lot of quality pitchers going tonight. But, just, you know, it's finding the right one. And, you know, if you land on that guy, you know, you'll be okay. You know, like I said, I really like Johnny Cueto. You know, Mr. Fantasy was big on Tyler Anderson. You know, you went with Jake Arrieta. You know, I know I saw where Kenta Maeda has pitched really well in Dodger Stadium. So, you know, maybe he's an option for guys, and he is pitching against the San Diego team that is very young. So.
Yeah, my other one was Odorizzi.
Of course, he's your guy. So.
And then I actually went with your theory for the hell of it, the pitcher catcher duo.
Oh. Yeah, so that worked really well for me with Kershaw and Grandal. You know, Grandal happened to hit two bombs. So, you know, normally that doesn't work out too well for me. You know, what's funny is, you know, when I do that stuff, I just get in trouble with Mr. Fantasy. You know, it just irritates him. So it's like, you know, let's just keep doing it. So, you know, like, he didn't like my logic for picking Hunter Pence just because he's Hunter Pence and you have to pick him. So, but you know, he's all, you know, sabermetrically pumped up now this year, and he's got all those stats coming out. So we'll see how that worked.
Well, when he's done reading that book, ask him to send it to you.
So, yeah. Or he could just bring it to me, considering he works, you know, 5 minutes away from where I live. But that's a different story. So.
Well, the point was, then he could give it to you. And when you're done reading it, you could send it to me, and then I'll send it back to him.
There you go. So. We'll have to see if we have any success with that. I'm not all that positive it's going to happen, but you know, we'll see. So, you know, you just never know. So now, Wars, did you take Arrieta because you're betting on the fact that it's his contract year that he's gonna perform?
It was just Cueto cost too much.
Yeah, I saved on outfielders. That's how I went with Johnny Cueto. I went and picked up cheap outfielders that I really liked. Of course, one of them was not playing tonight, so I had to make that swap. But, you know, hey. So.
Yeah, well, and I figured they lost the other night, so they have to redeem themselves, right?
Yeah, you would think. I mean, I don't see, you know, too many big time losing streaks for this team, right?
No, but no.
So,
it wasn't so much of a huge strategy, more or less as, I guess I'll go this route. It's a free roll. I'm not losing any money.
Yeah, it's always a little more easier to do it when you're in a free roll just to kind of try it out. So, and I realize now, Dan, I have even a bigger complaint about the highlights from that A's-Angels game. Chris Davis from the A's hit two home runs, and I didn't see either of them.
Yeah.
So, I did not know that because I didn't delve too deeply into it because it was the late game. But, you know, just kind of like, oh, great. So.
Yeah, he was a guy I was looking at to pick tonight, but I figured since he hit two last night, he might not do it again.
Yeah, it's always interesting to go with like guys in those games because You know, it's two teams that don't have great pitching. And you just wonder, you know, if one team is going to go off. And, you know, that's Mr. Fantasy's new thing. He's stacking lineups again. Basically what he's doing is he's picking two teams, you know, they don't have to be playing against each other, but he's picking two teams where he thinks there's going to be an offensive explosion, and he's stacking the guys. So if he hits on it, he's going to do real well. But if he misses, it's going to stink.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a hard thing. I think I had two or three Cubs on Sunday.
Yeah. So yeah, it's an interesting strategy. You know, it's nothing. You know, like I'll do it for one game. You know, like if I find a team I really like, I like the pitching matchup, that kind of stuff. I'll take one, you know, team and maybe play three or four guys. But I have a really difficult time doing it with, you know, multiple teams like that. That's a big risk. But obviously, you know, it worked out for him on Sunday.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I know everybody has kind of, you know, their own strategy. It's, you know, what you like and how you want to do it. And I know, you know, the thing, you know, we talked about a little bit on Sunday is he is leaning toward guys at the top of the order. And he doesn't want to get a guy who's batting lower than fifth. So he's looking for those at bats is what he's looking for.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, and I was going to make the okay Joe Madden joke, but I do think it's different when it's fantasy as opposed to the real game.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not as picky on where my guys hit. I think if a guy's got a good matchup, you know, I'll take a guy going 2-for-3 over a guy who's going to go 1-for-4 because he got the extra at bat. You know, that doesn't do anything for me. So, you know, but that's, you know, again, that's why we do what we do on Sunday, and you as the kind of new fantasy player have to decide where you are. So what's funny is it really affects you more than anybody else, you know, or anybody listening, because they kind of got to make their decision, you know, am I siding here or, you know, there? And, but, you know, I guess that's kind of the object of it, right? Give everybody, you know, enough opinions to help them win. So I hope that's working. So, but I did decide this year, Dan, to win at FanDuel, you need good starting pitching. With the way they've changed the rules, if you can get a good starting pitcher, you know, what's funny is, like, I saw, like, my Sunday lineup had Bumgarner in it. My free roll, even though he didn't win the game, he scored just under 50 points.
Wow.
You know, if he would have gotten the win, he was 49-9, and you don't get his home runs. So, you know, you didn't get any of that stuff. If he'd have got the win, he would have been 56 or 55-9. You know, that's huge. So with, you know, the quality, adding the quality start, you know, you get it's, you know, it's three points per innings pitched. So, you know, if you think about it, you get the win at 6, your quality start is 4, you're at 10 already. If you're going to get a quality start, the guy has to go 6 innings, that's 18 points. So you're already at 28 and you haven't added in strikeouts yet. You know, obviously you may lose something if he gives up a run or two. But, you know, like a guy like Justin Verlander today ended up being a huge play. But oddly, I don't know if he was an option because it was a rainout.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, you're right.
So that. I didn't see him when I was putting the lineup together earlier.
Well, no, I was going to say when I did the two lineups I did earlier, no Sox or Tigers were available.
Yeah. But yeah, he looked, you know, he looked like the pitching play. You know, I'm sure on Sunday night, I didn't look at his points, but I'm sure Carlos Martinez was a really good play. You know, I think he got the win and he struck out 10. So he would have racked up some really, you know, really good points for you as well. You know, and it's just, you gotta, if you can hit on that guy this year in FanDuel when you're putting your lineups together, I really think that's going to be your key to victory this year. You know, because it's hard to find the guy who's going to hit two home runs in a game for you, but it's not as difficult to look at the pitchers and go, hey, this is the best matchup. You know, are these guys going to win it? So that's kind of how my year is starting out. We'll have to see if it stays like that, but that's how my year is starting out. What about you? Is that how your year's starting out?
Kind of. Well, I've got a question for you then. So, I guess when it comes to the Cubs, and obviously you're not going to, when it's the Padres, it's Clayton Richard, you may not want to go this route, or Julius Chacin, maybe a handful of guys. But when the Cubs are playing, and you've got a team, you know, I don't want to say Clayton Kershaw because I think that's a little too obvious. But, you know, even Carlos Martinez, maybe, you know, I don't think everyone knows he was going to be as well as he did on Sunday night. But just along with the Cubs, then they're known for, yeah, they're going to hit some bombs, but we're going to get a lot of Ks. Do you kind of maybe go that route, even though the Cubs might possibly win that game, but they might strike out enough and the pitcher might get enough innings?
You know, I think if they're facing a strikeout pitcher and it's a guy like a Bumgarner or a Syndergaard or, you know, that guy who could possibly rack up, you know, 10, 12, maybe even on a great day if he's really on, 15 strikeouts, you can go that route. But, you know, like you mentioned Kershaw, he would fit into that group as well. But, yeah, if you don't, you know, if you're not sold on that guy, and there are a few of them, you know, Scherzer strikes out quite a few guys. You know, Strasburg can do it. You know, you mentioned Kershaw, I threw out Bumgarner. You just got to find the guys who strike out hitters. I think you can get away with it there. The only thing that could get you is if it's one of those things where he strikes out 10 and then he gives up 6 runs because you end up losing points that way. So.
Yeah.
You know, you're hoping it's a game where, yeah.
Where he gets the quality start and then the bullpen blows it.
Yeah, you know, yeah, if you can get a game where, you know, maybe he goes 7 innings, gives up 2 or 3 runs and strikes out 10, then you're in a good spot. But, yeah, if you get one of those starts where he goes 5 innings and does manage to strike out 10 but gives up 5 runs, you didn't really accomplish much. So you've got to be really careful which pitchers you take that chance on. And like, I would have never done it with Martinez because he's normally not you know, 5, 6, maybe 7 strikeouts, but for him to get to double digits, I think that was a bigger deal than people may have thought.
Well,
so,
I mean, even, you know, another lineup that you might be looking at when your pitcher going up against Houston, because they seem to have a high strikeout ratio, right?
Yeah, there are, you know, of course, as we know, there are teams that, you know, we've been over it for quite a few years that do strike out quite a bit. So, yeah, it's just, even though they're a better team, you know, you can get away with, with going against their guys, you know, just because of the fact that you may get, you know, I mean, imagine if you get that double-digit strikeout total. I mean, you're looking at, what is it? Is it 3 points per strikeout? It's 30 points.
Wow.
So, you know, it could be a, you know, it could be a big deal. It's, you know, like, it's just picking and choosing that guy, and you've got to find a strikeout type of pitcher. Like, looking here, you know, like, I'm not taking Iwakuma against the Astros tonight because he doesn't strike guys out. So, you know, like the Cardinals are coming with Wainwright. I don't think that's a very good option. But, you know, oddly enough, the A's tonight, Sean Manna strikes out a lot of guys. But the Angels, I think we realized last year that they struck out less per game than any other team in baseball. So that's an interesting matchup. You know, if Manna's on his game tonight, he could rack up some strikeouts for you. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's all that kind of stuff that, you know, really factors into play when, you know, you're kind of, you know, kind of trying to play fantasy. Now, tomorrow, James Paxton pitches for the Mariners. He is a strikeout guy against the Astros, but he's a lefty, and I think they match up better against lefties. So, you know, if that's something you're looking for, you know, maybe you take that chance tomorrow with a guy like James Paxton, because there aren't a ton of big-time strikeout guys. DeGrom is going against the Braves. I don't know if the Braves are going to strike out a lot. So, you know, we'll have to kind of see how that plays in. But, yeah, that's definitely a stat you kind of start keeping track of now. And you start just looking at teams that are going to strike out and see if you can take advantage of it.
I mean, shoot, if that area was in place about 3 years ago, I would have picked against the Cubs every day.
Yeah. So, you know, and I'm sure there were people who did. You know, yeah. it wouldn't have surprised me if there were people out there going, oh, yeah, you know, this guy's going to get 8-10 strikeouts and the Cubs are going to lose 100 games, so I'm going this way. So,
I mean, you know, that was when you were guaranteed almost 3-4 from Javi if he was starting.
Right, you know, then, and, you know, the Astros a few years back, and I know the Brewers are like that. The Brewers were like that last year. I think they were one of the top teams in strikeouts, so you may always want to look to see who's pitching against the Brewers and kind of see what that guy's K rate is. You know, I believe they're a team you could take advantage of this year. You know they're not going to be very good. So, you know, it could be something.
When I was going to say, I would have to look at his numbers again, but from the games I watched, especially against the Cubs, because they're not watching too much Brewers outside of that, I felt like Braun didn't strike out as much as you know, for all the kind of BS that surrounded him over the last couple of years. He's not really a guy you can strike out.
No, you know, he's not too bad, but, you know, obviously he's just one guy in the lineup. And now they'll improve this year with Chris Carter being gone because he struck out 200-plus times himself. So, you know, that's one of those things. I mean, they'll automatically improve just on that alone. You know, that'll be a big plus for them. But, you know, they're pumping in a lot of young guys, a lot of rookies. And, you know, these guys are going to – you know, they're gonna strike out. You know, that's what young guys do. So, you know, and especially in today's game.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I know they're, you know, Jonathan Villar struck out 174 times last year. You know, and he's in their lineup every day. What do I have here? Braun struck out 98 times last year.
Not too bad.
But, yeah, you'll have to keep an eye on it because it looks like three of their top four strikeout guys are gone. Chris Carter, Kirk Nieuwenhuis, and Scooter Jeanette play elsewhere. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on. What'd you say? You broke up.
Nieuwenhuis, where did
he go? I'm going to look here. They do still have him listed with the Brewers, so maybe he is still there. I thought they let him go.
No.
But no, he's still a Brewer. He pinch hit yesterday, and he didn't strike out though, so that's a plus.
Yeah, I did see that one, so that's why I was a little confused. I was gonna say I thought he was still on a team. I swear I heard his name when I was listening to the game yesterday.
Yeah, you know, well, sadly I can't be right all the time. You know, I for some reason I thought I saw that they had let him go. I just must have mixed him up with some other goofy end name, you know, and just New Bomb or New Kirk or New something or other. So New York, who knows? But yeah, he's still wearing a Brewer uniform. So you got him. I don't know how many at bats he's going to get because they're going to play the young guys. But yeah, Villar is going to rack up his strikeouts. So you know you've got him, and you know, you can always check their lineup. I know you set your lineup really early because you do it in the morning sometimes. So you would have to go back and check in. But you know, there are those guys who are sitting at the computer, you know, a minute before their lineup has to be in, so they could always go in and check and see what the starting lineup is. And you know, I always set mine mid-afternoon, and then I go back to check to make sure all my guys are starting. You know, or if I've had an epiphany on somebody who I just think is going to be fantastic, that doesn't happen too often, but occasionally. But yeah, that's you know, that's one of those things I, you know, I always always like to, you know, like to do or like to see. You know, it's, you know, what I really like is if people will share their strategies. You know, I know a lot of guys don't like to give their stuff away, but you know, it would be great to find out how some of these other guys put their lineups together.
Yeah, they're not going to tell you.
You know, I mean, are, you know, right? I know. You know, are we looking at the right things? You know, how are we doing it, or you know, stuff kind of like that. And I still kind of go off, and I believe his name was Kyle. We had on from that Dollar Lineups place. I still kind of use his theory of going with the good pitching. So, you know, hopefully he's still right and that still pays off. Because otherwise it's going to be a long, long year for me. So, man, I definitely won't be happy about that.
No, not at all.
Yeah. You know, I haven't had a chance to go in and read them lately, but can you tell me what's going on the message board in our one league that seems to just keep blowing up?
I don't know. You got to go and read them. Some guy was just asking stupid questions, you know. I mean, maybe not stupid questions, but someone was asking why ERA and K per nine innings wasn't involved.
Yeah. Okay. I haven't signed in to look yet. I'll do that later, and I can answer their.
Just responded with, that's the way we've had it, and no one's asked to change it. So, you know, it's a big deal.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we're always open to suggestions. I mean, I have no problem looking for new categories or anything. That's so. But all right, well, the music time for Dan and I to head out. So wish us luck in FanDuel tonight. We hope you have good luck, too. We're coming back at 5:30 to do this all again tomorrow, so meet us here. You know the deal while we're gone, though. SportsTimeRadio.com. Look for the new blog tomorrow morning. Link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Jump on the Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio. See what we got going on there. You can get Dan and I on Twitter as well, so don't forget us. As always, don't forget you can get the podcast anytime you want at tunein.com.